Let's head on up to the Delta and talk with Captain Wayne Miller. Wayne, how's it going in the Delta this week?
Well, it's been going good, Joe. I'm amazed you got old Richard in there, man. It's hard to get Captain Richard off the water. He's out there every day.
I won't repeat what he was saying about you before we came on air.
I was thinking,
that's all right, man. This week has really been, a tough week from the standpoint of, getting out there every morning, because it's been pretty cool. Monday we started out, I was really amazed, the water temperature in the lower Delta along the causeway got down. It was like 46, 47 degrees, which is really cold for this time of year for the Delta. But, the good news is the fish are still biting down on the lower end. And the great thing about that is with the river stages that we've got to the north, that's just about the only thing left to fish, because the upper and middle Delta are definitely flooded.
Yeah, I saw that today on the Mobile River this morning. The water went 180 degrees this morning from yesterday. So it definitely just got here to the lower part.
Wayne, let me back you up a little bit. Let's talk about that abnormally cold water. How does that change things?
Well, what happens there is, even though at times it'll make the bite a little slower, the good thing about the really extreme cold water and typically the conditions that go along with it, which is, major cold fronts, is that it really congregates the fish. They really stack up. So, the great thing about the fish being concentrated in those creeks down on the lower end is, there are a lot of stretches that, virtually have no fish in them. But when you find them, you can usually, if you just figure out how to trigger a bite, you can usually catch a lot of fish in one small area.
Yeah, kind of like find one, find them all, huh?
Yeah, it really is.
Wayne, you said a couple of weeks ago that the way you were fishing these creeks is you've been using soft plastics, and then when you find a fish, you swap over to a crankbait. Does that change with cold temperatures? Do you have to slow your presentation down even if the fish are stacked up like that, or does that still apply?
It still applies, Joe. I mean, I was on the water yesterday, and kind of the same scenario, unfolded. The great thing about, fishing plastic is, most of these creeks, and we've talked about this. I mean, when we talk about fishing the deep water in those creeks down there, you're talking about 5 to 8 feet. So the good thing is you can fish soft plastic, and I know it sounds crazy, but you're fishing slow, but you're fishing fast. You can cover a lot of water, fairly quickly until you get bit. And then it's a matter of, like we talked about, taking these crankbaits and trying to find something that you can, get a concentrated school of fish, get them really excited and triggered to feeding.
You said something there that brings to mind a question. You said you're fishing slow, but you're fishing fast. And it really made me think about, I understand what you're saying. You're covering a lot of ground, but the way you're fishing slowly, fishing the bait slowly. How does that play into the type of reel that you want to choose as far as, do you put a lot of thought into gear ratios and line retrieve and things like that?
Yeah, I really do. Even on the soft plastic, that's something that, people really underestimate, what the importance of that gear retrieve ratio is. And on these soft plastics, I mean, when I'm doing that, where I'm using that soft plastic, as a search bait, then I'm making long casts in these creeks out in front of the boat. And so when I get a bite, primarily using braided line, and, the rods that I use are anywhere from 7 to 7.5 foot. And, you can feel these bites even on a long cast. But the important thing is once you stick a fish, you've got to have that high gear retrieve ratio to keep up with these fish because in this cold water, man, they really take off. So, you know, for me, you know, a 7-to-1 gear retrieve ratio works really well. And, you know, that's one of the things that I target when I'm picking out reels for, you know, using on soft plastic.
Is there any kind of, I like that as a rule of thumb, and I guess if you've got the ability, if you've got a good gear ratio where you retrieve a lot of line, you can always slow down the rate that you reel.
That's right.
But it's easier to slow down the rate that you reel than it is to reel super, super fast.
Right. I was talking to somebody about that this morning, actually, and we were saying, well, what I do is I use all 7-to-1 ratio reels, and when I just kind of work the bait on feel. You know?
Right.
You can tell when you're working it fast enough or slow enough or too fast. So I like those high gear ratios, yep, too. And I find that exactly what you said, Wayne, with the high gear ratio and a soft plastic. I like to be able to wind that slack up quick.
Yeah. Well, you know, Richard, I know you experience it at times when you have customers that'll bring, you know, their own equipment. And a lot of times they're bringing older reels that are slower gear retrieve ratios. And, man, you see them just trying to catch up to fish a lot of times, and they literally can't do it.
That's right.
Well, Captain Wayne, sounds like there's still some fish to be caught out there. We appreciate the Delta report. I hope you stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Stay warm.
Okay, guys. Have a great one.
All right, Richard, I always like talking to Captain Wayne.
Oh, yeah, Wayne's great, man. He's a really good guy.
He's the bass master.
He is, for sure. He is always on top of them, for sure.
Well, you know, normally we kind of go to the upper bay and get an idea of what's going on either in the Mobile Delta for, you know, our inshore saltwater species. But the Delta's blown out, man, sounds like.
It is. It definitely is. And we just got another good slug of water this morning, which I saw. Fished Mobile River yesterday. Actually, the past couple of days I've fished up there. And the water clarity's been decent. Very fishable, catching a lot of fish. Today was 180 degrees. The water, I couldn't see my trolling motor head. Couldn't see the skeg on my outboard, anything like that. And the bite was much slower. You know, I still caught a few fish. Which was good, but it's definitely coming down. I think it's going to get worse.
When you see that dirty water come down, is there any way to know if there's clean water underneath it? Does it work like that?
Sometimes you'll be able to tell if there is or not. I rely on my electronics a lot when I'm up there. Just to, you know, you can see bait, you can see fish with your electronics, so you have some type of idea what's down there before you start fishing. One thing I'll take note of is when the tugboats and ships are pulling through the river, sometimes I will pull off of a spot and go out there and get behind the ship and see what I see. Sometimes it'll be real dirty on the surface, and you'll see this pretty green gulf water that they're kind of stirring up behind their props. That's not the case right now, but there's definitely some salt water that's going to hold down there. It's too deep. It's too deep of a system.
There on the Mobile River, that's not a type of fishing I've done very much. You know, growing up on Fowl River, I kind of just stayed down in my neighborhood. And I really enjoy those tidal rivers and estuaries off the bay. But tell me a little bit about that fishery, because I know you've talked about it before, and that is this kind of the time of year when that really gets good. I mean, I guess it can be good year-round.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a year-round fishery. It's not something that you just fish in the winter or just the spring or whatnot. You know, it's good year round. I tend to start getting up there in the fall when we start fishing in the Delta, and then through the winter I'll be up there. It's definitely a different thing than anything I've had. You can only fish the Mobile River like you fish the Mobile River. And for me, it's usually a grub thing, fishing something on the bottom.
Well, okay. So what I like to talk to Wayne about, because the Delta, I've done a little bit of fishing up there. It's not my forte, but I know the general idea. But one of the things I always like to think about is if you're going to an area you haven't fished a lot, how do you prospect? So if you want to do what Wayne was talking about, which is fish fast, meaning cover a lot of ground, how do you do that in the Mobile River?
Yeah, there again, I'm going to always revert back to my electronics first. You know, when I get in an area, I usually drive the trolling motor from the back of the boat and be looking at my electronics as I'm going through and casting. And I usually like to make about 5 or 10 good casts in one little area and then kind of maybe move 100 feet or something like that, get into some new water, make another couple of casts. And you usually can tell pretty quick you're going to get some kind of activity on your rod, on your rod tip. You're going to get a bump or you're going to feel it twitch. I usually can kind of get a feel for fairly quickly whether there's any fish around or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then there again, you know, kind of comparing the fish into what your bottom machine's telling you. You either move on or kind of keep working it over a little bit. But the Mobile River also can be hot and cold. You know, mm-hmm. you can find really good bite in one slip, and then one slip down, there'll be nothing there.
So when y'all are fishing, this is typically much deeper water. Mm-hmm. So like you said, you're relying on your electronics. You're not fishing things like a popping cork necessarily or a slip cork or anything like that. You're going to the soft plastics.
That's right.
Today I got a special guest with me, Captain Richard Rutland. Captain, before we took a break, we were talking about a little bit about the Mobile River. And, you know, so let's get into that a little bit more. We're trying to connect with Bobby, but he's unavailable at the moment. So let's talk about the Mobile River. Now, we were talking a little bit about prospecting, and you were saying, you know, you try to make 5 or 10 casts, change a new location. Let's talk about those casts a little bit. Are you doing any particular thing for those five casts in a row, or are you really trying to mix it up and try to find a pattern?
Most of the time when I'm doing, I like making really long casts when I'm doing that so that you cover the most amount of water. And my main goal when I'm working a grub up there is making contact with the bottom. If I'm not making contact with the bottom with my grub every single time I jig it, I have no confidence that I'm going to get a bite. So that's something that you really have to make yourself go and learn how to do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first started fishing Mobile River, the only reason I went there was because all these guys in some of these tournaments were, I mean, just beating the brakes off of me, you know, and they're fishing in Mobile River. And I was like, well, you know, if you can't beat them, you got to join them, mm-hmm. you know? So I went up there and started to figure it out. And that's what I've gained the most confidence in, is just making contact with that bottom. I use braided line with about a 20 pound, like a 6 foot, 20 pound fluorocarbon leader, 3/8 ounce jig head, mm-hmm. and then some type of soft plastic on there. And the like I said, my main goal is just making contact with that bottom everywhere I go. If you're not getting hung up when you're up there, you're not doing it right, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of making contact with the bottom, let's take a little trip up to Miller's Ferry. You ever been to Miller's Ferry?
No.
It's a beautiful spot up on the Alabama River. We got Joe Dunn on the line. Joe? How's this water affecting things up there?
It's in bad shape right now. We got all the floodgates open there at Miller's Ferry and floodgates open at Jones Bluff, so it's flowing on through right now. You're going to have to hunt places to get out of the water if you want to fish right now. You're going to have to go to some of the bigger creeks that don't have a lot of current coming out of them, like I say Foster would be one, Mill Creek, the Marina Slough, Alligator. The Dale Slough, that's a few that come to mind on the lower end, and there's a few on further up north, but the main rivers is a mess right now.
So are those places that you're talking about, those creeks, I guess they're kind of cut off from the main rivers and they're holding cleaner water?
Right, and you want to, I've named some further on the lower end, say from Foster on down, because they're not going to have any water breaking through them. Now, the further north you go now, though, you'll have water breaking through the backs of them somewhere, too. So they'll probably be more stained, everything further north. But being a lake like it is, you know, the lower end has kind of helped it flood all year long. So you won't have that water breaking over in the back of those right now.
Joe, while we were in the break, Richard and I were talking, and I was telling him that a lot of times I struggle with confidence whenever I see dirty water. Most of the time, to be honest, I just don't even go. And Richard was saying that, you know, a lot of times with the dirty water, it really just forces the fish to bunch up. You know, they're still there. Do you see the same thing up there? Do you see that these fish really get tight when it's like this, like it is now?
Well, Yes, to a certain point, you know. And I think that Miller's Ferry has probably done gone beyond that point now. You know, it's like we're talking about super bad, super high. You know, we're talking about it went all the way to flood stage. It's just now starting to fall out a little bit. And what, I'm like you, though. I'm scared of it. I mean, to a certain point, I don't mind stained water, and I actually would rather have it than clear water. But then once it gets to where it's just pure mud, I'll have to ease up some of those creeks and fish the edges of it, of the stained water, and get on in the clear water a little bit. But like I said, up to a certain point, yeah, I like it. But I think at Miller's Ferry, it's done gone way beyond that point right now.
Well, Joe, you know, Richard has said this before quite a bit. Bobby Abrascato said the same thing. And they talk about being a conditions fisherman. And down here, you know, they're talking about knowing where, for example, the lee side of a particular wind, you know, get on the lee side of an island to shield themselves from the wind. But when they talk about really super high tides down here, they've explained to me that it opens up some opportunities in areas that are typically way too shallow to fish. There's still fish in those spots, but you just can't get in there to fish them. Are there any spots like that, that where when the conditions get like this, you say, well, this, you know, it's not great by any means, but this is the time you do. Is there something like that up there?
Yes, it is. And usually what it's better in the early spring too, a little bit later on, but it'll you got those flats, then it'll be full of water where you can get in the backs of them good. And then on the other side of it, it's up high enough, there's stuff you can go into that you wouldn't normally even think about getting into, you know, and will hold fish in the backs of some of those little beaver ponds and stuff like that. But the high water a little bit later on will be great because it'll push those fish all up in that grass and it makes they're there anyway, but like you said, it makes it easier for you to fish then because you're not completely stirring mud the whole time with your trolling motor trying to get up in there.
Right. As far as bait selection, you know, one of the things, again, we were talking in the break about muddy water, and, you know, I was asking Richard, I said, I know these fish are still in these places, but why is your success limited? And he felt like it's really related to the inability of the fish to see your bait, you know, and find your bait. So is there anything on the river there with regards to, I'll just say crappie in particular, that you can do as far as bait selection when your water starts to dirty up like it is?
Well, you know, mainly, you know, you definitely want live bait some then too. And then you want a darker colored bait, you know.
Really? I would have thought the complete opposite.
A grub, you know, usually a, you know, that black and it's a black and chartreuse with a maroon head tube jig that does real good during that time too. And that works good, but like I said, the live bait is the key too then, because he's having to do a lot of smelling around and feeling when he, you know, and he runs, bumps into that. And like I said, you got to put it right on top of him too that time when he's in that kind of water. But, yeah, the darker bait, like I said, a black with chartreuse, and those do good that time of year.
What about the flooded areas? I've done a little bit of limb lining and, you know, in some of these flooded areas, most of the time what it's turned into for me was a really cold boat ride. what am I doing wrong? What am I not? Is there something that you look for in particular when the river gets outside its banks for limb lines specifically?
I would still pick out like bigger feeder creeks and closer to the channel that you can get wherever a channel whips up along a bank, that would be where I would put mine out at. They're not going to be out in the flats or nothing like that quite yet. They're going that away, but they're not there yet. And that channel, anything with the channel, closer to the channel is going to be your best bet.
Well, what about the hunting situation? You seeing still seeing good reports as far as whitetails go?
Yes, it's been I'm phenomenal, I think, you know, as far as the size of the deer I've been seeing killed. I would have never thought it, to be honest. But we're doing something a little bit better, I guess, now. But there's been some really, really big deer brought in around here. And, you know, like I said, I would have never thought it this year, but it has been. It's been a good year so far.
Well, we've had some decently cold temperatures for the time of year, and that's always – I don't know if it really helps that much with getting deer moving as much as it does with getting hunters moving and getting them out in the woods. And that's going to always lead to more success. But yeah, it does seem like it's been a good start to the season. I'm looking forward to seeing that rut start to kick in and starting to enjoy some of that as we get into January.
It's going to have to be a lot of big deer killed to get any better than what I've seen so far. But it's been, like I said, this early, usually you just don't see this. But, you know, I've seen several nice, you know, 8 and 10 points. You know, we're talking in the 120 to 130 class deer. You know, I mean, that's nice deer for around here.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, good deal, Joe. Well, thanks for the report this week, man. If folks want to get in touch with you, how do they do it?
Just call us here at Dunn Sports, 334-636-0850.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Be safe this weekend.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's head on up to the beautiful waters of Lake Martin. We're talking with Captain David Hare. David, what's the winter forecast for those stripers looking like?
Well, they're cold and they're wet. I mean, it's been cold, but man, the bite is on fire. But we are getting a lot of rain, and it has been very cold. But if you can stand the cold, we can put you on the fish right now.
Well, do these cold temperatures and this rain, do they change the pattern at all? Like, are those fish holding deeper water, or is there anything in particular to look for?
Yeah, they are holding in deep water right now. And I'm just speaking for the last couple of weeks. If I got out of any kind of water depth that was less than 40 foot, I haven't been able to find them. And this time of year, you should be able to, you know, catch them in shallow water and in deep water, a combination of both. But my shallow water bite, it just hadn't been happening for me, and I blame that on all the rain we've been getting. It's just got the shallow water real stained up.
It's a water clarity issue. Well, on those deep water fish, what's your go-to tactics?
Here the last, probably about the last 8 to 10 days has been downlining some live shad, gizzard shad, and jigging some bucktail jigs.
On those gizzard shad, how do you go about, you know, getting enough to make a day of it? Do you throw a cast net, or are you able to buy them there on the lake?
You can't buy them anywhere local. You know, nobody wants to fool with them because it's tough to keep them alive if you don't have much experience with it. But me and my guide service, we go through so many of, we catch them ourselves, but we catch them at different dams. Most of the time, these baits are coming off the Coosa River chain at different dams when they're, you know, generating water. We'll go through 400 to 800 shad a week, so, you know, we go through a lot more than the normal person does. To answer your question, you can catch a few shad on the lake, but you got to go fish with them right then because they're not purged out and they're real, real dirty.
Let's talk about those gizzard shad a little bit more. How exactly are you fishing those?
I personally use a 3-ounce weight. And I put about a 3-foot leader below the weight, and then I'm hooking the shad on circle hooks, and I'm dropping down, and I try to get right above the school of fish that I see, and because the stripers don't come up to hit.
Right. Okay. Well, it sounds a lot like, you know, how we fish for red snapper here in the Gulf, and one of the things I've noticed with snapper fishing those circle hooks is sometimes putting a little bit of just a little bit of offset in that circle hook seems to help with the hookup ratio. Do you find anything like that to be true?
It does, and I do use the offset circle hooks. I got away from the other ones years ago. I like that little offset on it.
Do you find that there's a better way to hook those gizzard shad than, you know, a lot of folks just want to run it up through the bottom lip, up through the top? You do anything different?
Yes, sir. And I've been doing this for years, and my favorite way, and seems like the best way to keep them good and alive, is I go in one nostril and out the other.
Mm.
But some people will go up under, and some people will go in their back. But you know, I can fish these shad, and if they don't get hit, I'm bring them back up and gently take them off the hook and move on to my next place and put them right back down.
All right, David. Well, and that sounds good. I got to get up there pretty soon and try some of that cold weather fishing out. If folks want to book a trip with you, how do they do it?
Best way to get me is either call or text me at 256-401-3089.
All right, David. That was good stuff, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a good week.